Welcome to another program of Together in Ministry Talk Radio. This is a special program, hence why we're broadcasting it on Sunday. I have a special guest with me. Well, he's not actually with me. He's actually calling all the way from New York, where he is on ministry at the moment. It is Samus Sean Sobers. We're going to be talking to him about prophetic worship and some of the things that he's doing. This is going to be a real blessing. So if you are a worship leader or know someone who is a worship leader or you're interested in worship, this is the program to listen to. He's going to be talking about prophetic worship. Before we go to Sean, I want to bang on about the National Day of Prayer and Worship for all of you who are listening from the UK or can get to the UK. It's on the 29th of September 2012. I'm going to keep repeating this till I get the whole of the United Kingdom of believers into that Wembley Stadium on the 29th of September. We're going to come before the Lord. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God's face, so that he will come and he will heal this land. We are expecting his presence to so descend on that place. The worship is going to be awesome. We have a whole lineup of UK worship leaders that are going to be there. So come on, get online. Their website is www.ndopwembley.com. Register. The tickets are right now at £10. Come the 15th, the tickets are going to be £15. So you need to register now. There are over 30,000 people that are already registered. So make sure that you get your space. If you're in the UK or anywhere near the UK, there are people coming from all the way from Korea that God has laid it upon their heart to pray for the nation of Great Britain, and they're coming over to join with us and to seek God's face for this nation. So again, their website is www.ndopwembley.com. You can also find out more information about it from us. You can email me. I can send you out flyers. I can send you out their brochures, more information, links to their videos. You can check out our website. You can find those there too. But send me an email. It's info@togetherinministry.org. Well, without further ado, because I have a full pack program here with Sean, let's just get to it. First, let me play one of his songs. This is actually my favorite. Stay tuned.
Just come for faith. You've got to be like a tree today, planted by the river water. When you put your foot in your sleeve, oh, yada, yada, yow. You're a man, woman, boy, and girl. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, oh, oh. I'm like a tree planted by the water. My roots run so deep, my leaves cannot wither. I bring forth my fruit in season. Whatever I do, oh Lord, it shall prosper. Oh, you're like a tree planted by the water. Oh, your roots run so deep, your leaves cannot wither. Oh no, you bring forth your fruit in season. Whatever you do, yeah, it shall prosper. Say, I'm planted, I'm planted, I'm planted. Oh, I'm planted, I'm planted, I'm planted. Oh, yeah, I'm planted, I'm planted. The environment that you're in is so important. Oh, but a purpose in you to be realized. Oh, this purpose in you will shift you into a new season. Hey, let everything in you I know will come to new life. I've got to sing again. You find out that you win is so important. Oh, for the purpose in you to be realized. Boy, this purpose in you will shift you into a new season. Then everything in you I know will come to new life. Because I know that we're planting, we're planting, we're planting. Oh, we're planting, we're planting, we're planting. Adiye, we're planting, we're planting, we're planting. Oh, we're planting, we're planting. Go ahead and bless His holy name. Whatever you are right now, lift up your head. If you know you're burning your day, oh yeah, yeah. Let your life be pulled away by trouble.
Don't be pulled away.
Stay in place and align yourself in God. For you've been planted by the Lord. Oh, what? You've been planted by the Lord. Oh, yeah. Because you're living and you're moving in your new season. You're living and you're moving in your blessed season. You're living and you're moving in your new season. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. You're living and you're moving in your new season. You're living and you're moving in your blessed season. You're living and you're moving in your new season. You've got to step up by faith right now. Hey, you're planning, you're planning, you're planning.
That was Planted by Psalmist Sean Sobers. He's a psalmist, he's pastor of Destiny Empowerment Worship Center in Guyana, saved at the age of 19. Psalmist Sean became immersed immediately in many facets of worship and ministry, ordained a prophetic minister in 2005, and following the mandate to go into all the world and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, Sean has traveled the globe. He's ministered in the Caribbean, he's ministered in Europe, in Africa, in North America, in South America. Sean is a leading prophetic worship leader in the country of Ghana and has recorded several songs, one of which we just played, and we will play again for you another time. But I have Sean in here. He's an amazing teacher. He's a songwriter, worship leader. God has raised him up for such a time as this. And I've had the privilege of sitting under his ministry for a short time while we were back in Guyana.
Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning to you.
Welcome. Welcome to the program. Sean, tell us a bit about yourself and what has led you into the worship ministry.
Well, first of all, I must say it's a pleasure, it's a privilege to be here talking to you today. It's a long story, but I think after...
We have some time. Bring it on.
Well, after getting saved over 21, 22 years ago, I think I've always done music throughout my life. And the experience of coming to know God, coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, has led to me moving in more or less in that direction. However, the environment for which God had more or less brought me into was an environment of intense worship. Of course, you would know that because you were part of it. And me having coming from a musical background, it was something. It was more or less a transition, something kind of new for me. That more or less led to me coming to this place of worship and the music and so on. The story is a little more longer than this, but
I sat under your ministry while I was at Love and Faith back in Ghana.
Certainly.
Tell us how you got started. What drove you into that particular ministry?
Like I said, you know, like I said, I had a musical background, and my apostle Brooke at that time saw something there, and you know, from time to time he would be prophesying that this is what he had seen me moving in that area. However, I did not understand the full dimension of all of what is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I believe that God uses people to more or less navigate you towards your destiny, your purpose, and for such. And he was instrumental in my life also. And we had the Pastor Ian Grief at the then time, whom would have seen certain things and was giving me opportunities from time to time to do such. And as I began to do it, for some people, it might be just reading the word that will get them closer to God. I found getting closer to God and getting a knowledge and getting to understand who God is through singing, or we would call it worship at that then time. And every time I do it, it would draw me closer. It would give me a more desire to know him, a desire to want to get closer to him. And that's where it actually took off from.
Okay.
And, you know, this is where it's at today.
Yes, I mean, I had the privilege of seeing you actually mature into it. And I think you got propelled into it when Thomas Eon actually left, didn't he, when he went on to the States. And then you were there. I can remember the very first song that I think what the world would say, rock the house with.
Really? You did?
I do remember that song.
Song
it was Hands of the Diligent.
Oh my goodness. That was actually, that my gosh. That
so
is the first.
You actually have that recorded anywhere.
I don't know if I can find that in the archives, but that is one of the first songs that was ever recorded.
Right.
You know, and placed on what we call back in the day cassette, you know?
Yeah.
I'll
never actually forget that song. Actually hearing, I know, you know, Eon introduced us to the reggae type of gospel, you know, to some degree, but you brought in the soca, calypso era into Love of Faith at that particular time. And it's to hear anointed soca song, you know, in the house of God. That was mind-blowing. I absolutely cannot forget that particular experience, to be honest with you.
And, you know, the amazing thing is that at this point, at this juncture of my life, I don't do that kind of music much. I'm telling you, I don't. I do some reggae.
You still got a little bit of it.
I do. I have a little of it. I have some stuff.
This could be my prompting for you to come on, bring me another song like that.
Oh, I have. I do. But I guess you know, as you mature, God, you know. You do.
Yeah, but what you mean? Are you now saying that particular flavor of music needed maturity?
No. I do that kind of music, but you know, come on, man. I'm getting older, you know. Come on. And I was in my teens back then.
Yes, yes, I do remember that.
And all the energy flowing and everything.
Yeah.
But it's not that we don't do it now, you know. It's just, I mean, everybody's doing that kind of music now, and these days you gotta be very careful how you do that, man.
Yes, definitely, because I think for some people, I think for some people they tend to do a switch back down memory lane that they shouldn't necessarily go to.
I know. And then now people some people begin to claim that this kind of music leads them into a whole place of entertainment. You know, it's
right.
The whole work.
Yeah.
But I do what I do. I believe if God's anointing on whatever you do, then you know there's no anything that you do.
I know you've been doing a lot of traveling because I've been trying to get you on this program for ages. And you're one time you're all over the place, but I think that is an advantage that gives you, I'm sure, a different flavor of the different cultures of worship around the, you know, the different places that you've been. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, for the last 3 years, 4 years, God has really been faithful. He's opened up a lot of doors. We've gone into Africa. We've gone into Holland. We've gone into, throughout the U.S. We've gone into the Caribbean. A lot of places God has allowed us to go. And we've seen different cultures.
Yeah.
It's the worship. I have not been just doing worship everywhere I go because I have a little preaching grace here too, you know.
Yeah. We were going to get to that.
But we've really had the opportunity. For instance, we were in Zimbabwe. Yeah, it was in Zimbabwe. And you know, the experiences of seeing other cultures and the way in which they honor God was remarkable. We've learned a lot of stuff there. The ministry has begun to not explode, but to really expand. There's been much maturity. You begin to value what God has given to you, but you know, begin to understand your assignment better and really be able to flow in it, you know, at another level. And so for the last season, it has been tremendous. Actually, just 2 days ago, I was with, I don't know if you know, Eddie James.
Yes, heard of.
You know, yes, well, we have just had an opportunity to be with him on a project.
Okay.
And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was called the Bronx Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an opportunity just to do some stuff here with them. And it was phenomenal. So God has been opening up doors. He's been connecting you with your kind. Because I believe that this is what the kingdom is about, you know. Where God is able to connect you with your kind. And then it's like reinforcement. And they'll be able to penetrate at another level. And that's been happening. And so it's been wonderful. I mean, it's a lot. I've been on the road a lot, missing the family sometimes here and there. And, you know, we were also in Suriname for like 3 weeks back. They had where they brought all the worship leaders and dancers, everybody together in one central place in Suriname. It's a lot of people. And, you know, they had the banners. They made a replica of the Ark or the Covenant and all that. Man, it was and then they had a 24-hour worship celebration. Trust me, it was off, like we say back where I come from, off the chain. And God showed up.
A little bit of saying like that to you, know.
Well, okay.
Yeah, continue.
And God showed up. And you know, what I believe is that God is strategically positioning myself and some others. Because a lot of people are doing worship now. A lot of people are doing a lot of worship, but I don't think it has been prophetic and apostolic, where it has been penetrating and infecting nations and infecting systems and all of that. And I think that is what God has been doing with myself. Like you have the Eddie James, and you have some other people, where it's penetrating this generation, because it's no longer where you just sing the night songs and you just rejoice, but it has to have penetrative impact, where it's impacting people's life, where they can, where they change forever. Because within the world right now, people are hurting so much. People in church are messed up.
Yeah.
You know, people are preaching who are messed up.
Yeah.
You know, people are singing who are messed up. And it's all about the gift and the talent. I think God is moving beyond that. I believe God is moving beyond that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's allowing us to understand that it is more than the singing. It is more than the accolades, is more than the titles and all of that. And it's God now wanting to bring the reign of his kingdom into this earth, and so that people can see that Jesus Christ is really Lord and who he is, you know. And so it's been great. The journey has been a good journey. We've been learning a lot. We've been stretched a lot. And, you know, we're getting ready for some other things in Atlanta and Miami and we have Trinidad. Actually, I just came from Trinidad too. They had a Joy Fest down there too. I was there last week.
Uh-huh.
And they had Joy Fest down there and the glory of God again showed up. And so God is divinely networking his people for this purpose. You know, and I'm praying that people can hear that shout and hear that sound and just begin to move in it, you know.
Yeah. So. I wanted to zero in a little bit on, you know, your definition of prophetic worship. Because, yes, I totally agree. There's the gospel music industry has, you know, exploded, really. And it's competing to some degree with secular music. And,
yeah.
You know, you'd expect that if that was the case, that you would be seeing more effective worship, per se, in church. But
yeah.
That, of course, is not happening. How do you define the two?
I think for me, and based on my understanding of the whole concept of the prophetic, it's, God has called us to be his mouthpiece in the earth.
Yeah.
We are his representative. The Bible says that in Revelation, I think Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, somewhere around there, where it was John the Revelator was talking, and he says that immediately he heard a sound, and then he was transitioned from that place where he was in to another place. In other words, God said to him, I want you to come up higher. But the reason why God told him to come up higher was because God was about to give him a glimpse or give him a revelation, give him an understanding or to begin or to show him what was taking place in the heavenly realm. In other words, to show him what this is the type of worship. This is what I want to bring into the earth realm.
Yeah.
You know, and and see, when we talk about prophetic worship, it's not where you just hear a rhythm and you slap some words to it, or you repeat what somebody is saying. But it's the ability to get into that realm, into that place, into that zone, I call it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Spirit of God begins to download into your spirit what he desires for this moment, for this time. It's a now time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This now song or this now sound. And whenever that happens, it literally penetrates people's lives. In other words, it infects them. I use the word infect in this context where it's like where you have the AIDS virus. It means that you become fully bound with who God is, and all you know, and that thing begins to flow through you. And so for me, when we talk about the prophetic, it's the ability to hear that sound and just do what God says at the then time, the now time. Know, and not do what you want. Sometimes it may sound a little off, but to God, it is just in the zone. You know, I believe that we need a lot more of that. We need a lot more of prophetic and stuff playing in the mainstream. We need a lot more stuff like that. However. There has to be a definition in terms of when people hear it, it must not just be another song that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it must not just be a gospel song on a reggae track, but the message, you know, the message must be of such that it literally touches you in such a spot, in such a place, because whenever the Spirit of God shows up, he touches you at a particular spot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it must be able to touch you at this spot and cause you, because change is progressive.
Mm-hmm.
It must cause you to become so angry with where you at and understand that you can go further.
Yeah.
You know, that you are willing to make the necessary adjustment. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm happy when I hear certain songs are played in the club. I'm happy because let me just make this clear. A lot of the songs that we sing,
mm-hmm.
it is for us.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to hear me clearly. A lot of the songs that we sing, it is for us. But
mm-hmm.
Jesus did not come for us.
Mm-hmm.
But he came for the lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have a message that literally causes the lost to come to attention as
mm-hmm.
such, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are songs that have got to be able to go out there and cause the lost to listen up and wake up and say, oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know this was kingdom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is within the prophetic zone because it has different dimensions and different levels. Sometimes I think some people want to tie the prophetic and to lock it in a box where we have to say, for thus says the Lord. Listen, it's not even just saying thus says the Lord, because you're prophetic. If you're prophetic, you don't have to say thus says the Lord, because you live within a realm, you live within a zone, mm-hmm. you live within an atmosphere, and so whatever you say is prophetic.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and so God us to be, and so we got to flow like that. And so when we do music now, I sometimes if God downloads something into my spirit, I try to think, okay, you have to now know how to package that now to reach the Lord, because they're in a different place than we're in. A lot of them, they will not come to church. A lot of Christian people might not even listen to your program. So sometimes you got to know how to flip it a little. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's still the prophetic grace in it, because you are prophetic. You understand? Mm. So open your mouth. You have to say, thus says the Lord. But when you tell somebody that this is what God can do for you, or this is what God is doing, they must hear it in a different light.
Yes.
Got me? You got, don't make me preach now. You know, Denise, we have over the last season really began to experience a really fresh flow of what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. And I said to a friend of mine, I was telling Eddie James that the next move of God is not going to come through preaching. I have a lot of preacher friends, and I can preach. I have a lot of preacher friends. Mm-hmm. And whenever we travel together, I don't try to preach, because I can never out-preach God. He is the best. Jesus is the best preacher. I can never out-preach him.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that he has said in the scripture, and he says that the hour cometh. And then he kind of like backed that up a little, and then he says that now is.
Yeah.
He says the hour cometh. The hour is coming for those that don't know.
Mm.
I want you to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
The hour is going to come for those that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But now is, because for those that know, this is your moment when you have to seize the moment and give me honor.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to out-preach anybody. I don't ever call myself a preacher. And even though I preach, I'm not going to, a lot of people are putting down, a lot of worship leaders, God called them into the ministry. And they're putting down worship, and they're now saying, well, I'm now a preacher. That's crazy. I will always be a worshiper. I will always be a man who's going after God in that manner. You know, and I said all of that to say this, that right now as it is, God wants to interrupt our daily schedule.
Mm.
You understand? God wants to interrupt. This thing where we are so locked in to this box and this routine, God wants to show up and to mess it up a lot of times. A lot of worship leaders, I'm very careful what I'm saying. A lot of worship leaders, it's not that they want to follow the structure that is set up, but because of the pastors who don't know how to worship, who have not learned how to enter into the presence of God,
mm-hmm.
who have no, it is just a theology, it is just within their mind, but in terms of what they do, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
They put the worship leaders under pressure to lock them into a 35 or 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we have to preach and we have to do all the preliminaries. Now, I'm not saying that you should not have structure,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that we have to come to a place where we're so open to the Spirit of God and be willing to allow God to interrupt our schedule, allow the Spirit of God and the presence of God to show up. Because I'm telling you, you don't know who is sitting there, who is broken, who went through what you don't know. And it's a lot of times the breakthrough comes through worship. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have to begin to revisit the whole model and the whole structure of how we do church. You know, there are times when I would come and exhort at the beginning of the service, and I share the word and whatever. And because of the excitement, and now people begin to get an understanding, they worship God with a better understanding. And so we do word and then worship pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Now that wouldn't go down in some places.
Definitely.
You
know?
You understand? That wouldn't go down, because people think that the most important thing in the church is the word. No, no, no. The most important thing is worship.
Yes. Well, worship prepares our heart to receive the word. You know?
I could drop a bomb on you for that.
Well, do that. Drop the bomb.
No, but look, seriously, it can work like that. But the thing about it is that worship is worship.
Mm.
You understand? and it just don't prepare your heart for the word. The word comes through worship. You see,
well,
we
indeed,
have,
yes,
we
yes,
have
yes.
worship. We have worship in the wrong context, where it's like a singing, and you get hyped, and you no. That's not it. That's why worship has got to be word.
Mm.
You gotta hear me. Worship got to be word. And so when word gets into your spirit, it don't prepare you for the next word. It prepares you to live.
Well, true. Yes. I get that. Yeah.
To live. It prepares you to live. It prepares you to deal with the things that the enemy will try to come against you. What happens when the pastor comes, he brings a little more clarity as relates to what the Spirit of God has already downloaded. In other words, he's confirming what you have received in worship. You got me now.
Mm. I get you.
when worship is done in the right context and your heart is open, because worship has nothing to do with singing.
True. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with singing. It is your heart that is poured out to God. Of course, there's a song that comes in there or whatever, but it's your heart that is poured out and it's opened up to God.
Mm.
You understand? It's where you begin to, you can just, because what about a man that can't sing? It's different, but we have locked this thing into singing. I was in a service, okay? I was teaching and preaching in Suriname just a few weeks back.
Mm.
And the church got like, 2,000 people, whatever. And I said, let's worship God. The music went loud and everybody, and it went. I'm like, the Spirit of God said to me, he says, God, stop them. I said, listen. Worshiping God has nothing to do with noise. It has nothing to do with music. You understand? Just open your mouth and tell God how good he is. Don't ask God for nothing. Just tell God how good he is. We stopped the music. They opened their mouth. They began to cry out from their spirit to God. I'm telling you, the glory of God showed up in that place. Beloved. The glory of God showed up. Was there any music? No.
Well,
because the Bible says that we're two or three are gathered. They're in the midst. God wants to come. All God wants you to do is to be obedient to whatever the mandate is for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he will show up. That's all God wants. And so if God says bow, that's what he wants. If God says run around the church, that's what he wants. Yeah. If God says stay silent.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is. So it is never mechanical. It's never this, you know, it has to be like this. No. I tell my people at the church, whatever it is, all you got to do is be obedient to it.
Mm.
When God says it, when the Spirit of God tells you to do it, you be obedient to it and watch God do the rest. The reason why we're not getting breakthroughs, the reason why we're not getting revival is because we have not been obedient. God said this to John. He said, listen, I want you to change your position, change your posture, and come up. Change. Come out from this fleshly place. Come up from this carnal dimension and come to a place where things are up, happening at another level. When he went there, he saw the elders and everybody bowing. He's like, my God, what is this? God said, listen, I want to show you how this thing is supposed to be done. It has nothing to do with your title. It has nothing to do with how well you can sing. It has nothing to do with whether you went on TVN or whatever. Because you know what? That's not what it's about.
Mm.
It's about your kingdom rating. And your kingdom rating, as it relates to your relationship with God, could be that you have never been to the nations of the earth. But your spirit and your connection and your obedience is of such. So your kingdom rating is higher than a lot of people who travel around the world.
Mm.
Because they're not in obedience. They're just doing it out of flesh.
Yeah.
Don't get me started, girl.
Yeah, don't start it. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I think one of the things that I wanted to bring up at you is there's always a thin line between hyped emotions of a people and the actual presence of God. Define or differentiate the two? Or do you think that there is merit in both, for instance?
First of all, I would want to say that there's merit in both, because people, we have to, again, look at the whole aspect of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of people from Europe and stuff like that, that is kind of rare and strange for some of them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've been into a church in it was Holland. I was doing some ministry in Holland a few months or whatever back. And the Spirit of the Lord had me just to begin to, I mean, we went into some warfare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am not, Dennis, I'm not kidding you. The pastor ran out of the church.
Okay.
Why? Because she had never seen that in her church.
Uh-huh.
And people, I mean, people were falling all over manifesting.
Right.
And so she became nervous. Now, some people look at that and say, oh, there was a lot of hype. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. When you come to America, people get into the whole Baptist, the whole, you know, kind of music, and you know, and people start to bop and hoop and stuff, and people say the Holy Spirit is in there. Mm-hmm. I've been to places where people would stand, they wouldn't be moving, and you could just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like different manifestations, different manifestations. However, because of our private worship and our life that is poured out to God and the way we do it and all of that, you'll be able to discern what is what. As a praise leader, worship leader, as a psalmist or whatever, there are times that I will begin to sing certain things, and trust me, people begin to jump all over, and people, a lot of times, oh, don't lose my touch. A lot of times people think that, you know, it has to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, I try not to hit at nothing, because people are different all over. I've been to, I was in Zimbabwe or Kenya, and a friend of mine, he took me to a service I had to preach, and he deliberately put me in front. He says, man of God, I want you to see how the people worship. When they started worshiping, my sister, if they were doing that in where we came from, we would delete them out of the church. You're not going to, what do you call them, write them out or whatever? You got to delete them out, because it looks so carnal. But that's culture again, you know? And so that is something I try not to, you know, wherever I go, I just try to discern. And as the lead, the one who's leading and all of that, you have to be able to discern and to know when to make a swing here, when to stop. You know, you understand?
Yeah.
You have to be able to discern that.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever you go, remember the people that are gathered there, they're not all Christians.
Yeah.
You have people with demonic stuff. And even if you have Christians, you have Christians with demonic stuff going on.
Yeah.
You have people with ancestral stuff going on. And so people manifest differently. When you play the drums, there's certain African spirits that will come up. There are certain things that will come up, and you can't stop that. You understand? And so that is why being a praise leader or just a worship leader, it has to go beyond that. You have to be able to have a prophetic eye and a prophetic spirit to really understand and what God is saying. So if God says, I want you to just play the keys alone, I want you to be silent, you've got to be sensitive in the realm of the spirit and not just sing your song. Well, oh, this is my song, and I'm going to sing. No, it cannot be. So you've got to know what God is saying and how the Spirit of God is moving, and be able to track Him in the realms of the Spirit, you know, as He moves.
Mm.
Understand? And so there's so many different manifestations. So sometimes, you know, you don't want to, because you don't want to offend and to hit anybody, because people are different. Although I tell you, I've seen so many different things.
Mm.
Caribbean people got a different way in which we respond to the leading of the Spirit.
Yeah.
When you come to Europe and you come up over to the United States, people got a different way in which they embrace the Holy Spirit. You know?
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
So it's all about the cultures. When you go to India and those places, people are different.
Mm.
You know? And
yeah.
So we have to be very, very different. I think that at this point of kingdom living, those things are not even so relevant.
Mm.
What is relevant is for people to be free.
Yeah.
And if it takes you flipping over a chair to be free, or sitting on your head to be free, baby, I want you to be free, because when you're free, your generations are in good hands. You understand?
Mm. Mm.
And so we've been trying to talk about, oh, this should not be like this. This should be like this. Church should be like this. A lot of people are in bondage, you know.
Mm.
You must never be able, we must never never shut the other people down, because it is not what we are accustomed to.
Mm.
Let me give you an experience.
Uh-huh.
I have been to a church, and at many churches, and they, like, okay, when you hear a song like, How Great Our God, that song is sung in so many different ways.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been places, and they would invite me to say, oh, psalmist, pastor, whatever, come and just raise this song for us. And one of the things that God has blessed me with is the ability to be observant.
Mm.
And I think as ministers of music, we have to, it's not that you would never be able to understand every culture.
Mm.
But there is one thing that is universal. When the presence of God shows up, it shows up.
Is it? Yeah.
When the anointing of God is in the house, it is in the house. You can't do nothing about that. I don't care whether you sing high pitch, low pitch, low key, whatever key. When the glory of God shows up in the house, baby,
that's it.
That's universal. When it shows up and God when the power of God hits you, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whether you speak in Spanish, whatever. That's it. For me, when I'm in those, I was telling you this. When I remember being in this particular church, and the pastor came and he asked me to lead the song.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, they sing the song. I would sing it a little slower. They sing it fast. This is what I did. I raised the song. It is a song that they know.
Mm-hmm.
They start singing, and I just ad lib over the song.
Right.
I don't try to promote me that I can sing the song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leading.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing. You singing the song, everybody singing the song the way they know, and I'm just ad-libbing on the song. I'm more or less sometimes calling the words, and I'm getting the band involved, and get everybody. And you think that I live there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been to white churches, and they sing with a lot of guitar. Of course, I love guitar music.
Okay.
And they sing with a lot of guitar. I do worship different from what you know, baby, from when you knew me. So they sing with a lot of guitars and all of that, and I jump right in there and you think that I live there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've been to black churches where and they hold it back and they hoop, and I did that. And you want I live there. Why? Because I'm an observant person. Sometimes we want to go in and we want to do us. You can't go do you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I don't go and try to do me.
Mm-hmm.
I do what God wants. And I would sit in the back there and I would look and say, okay, this is how it's being done. And I hop right inside there. I don't try to come to change what you're doing. No. I try to build on what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Understand? And the problem with a lot of praise leaders is that they come in and they're like, oh, this is how I do it. No. That's not kingdom. That is not kingdom. We are here to help, to connect with you.
Mm.
So we can build the kingdom.
Yeah.
You understand? I'm not here to come to bring me to you, because I am not important. I would never be important. God is.
Mm-hmm.
I would never be important. At the end of the day, you don't even need to clap for me. That's not important to me. You don't even need to mention my name.
Mm-hmm.
Just give God what he deserves and let him pour into you what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
That is more important. My job is done.
Yeah.
You understand?
But that brings me to another question. Do you think that the expectation or the basically the expectation of the people, not of you as an individual or the psalmist lead or the worship lead or whatever, but the expectation of God or their expectation that God will show up determines the level of
Level of release.
Yes. Do you think that determines it, or do you think as a worship leader you can determine that?
No, we don't. I never try to anticipate God. You know, the thing about it is that expectation and expectancy is where it's at, and your whole faith level and everything. So, and if you come into a place with much expectation, then the Spirit of God, things happen. Things happen. You know, I was once in a Benny Hinn meeting, and people said, "Oh, kind of thing. Oh, those things are not real." Let me tell you, those things are so real.
Mm.
I'm telling you, they're so real. Because I was right there up front with him, Donnie, and everybody. And I'm telling you what I've seen in my own eyes.
Okay.
On two occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
Mm-hmm.
And Benny Hinn don't preach. He worships God. And he really worships God. I mean, he knows how to worship God. He just gets into that realm. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, about 5-6 years back. I don't know, but now I've been there. But really worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen, I am telling you, we walked through the crowd after the meeting is over, 3 hours after, then somebody come and tell you to get healed. Because there's someone before the meeting, he's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
And people are getting healed. Why? Expect. expectation.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand? And I think that is what is missing from the house of God, from God's people.
Yeah.
We are more caught up in the person than rather than being caught up in who God is.
Mm.
We're caught up in who is leading the worship. It's like people ask me, they say, okay, so we got this meeting coming up, so you're gonna be leading worship. I would not even answer. You would not even know unless my name is on the flyer or whatever, because I am not important.
Mm.
If you expect God to show up in your midst, it's like you believe in God for a miracle, in terms of finances or whatever. You expect God. If you expect God to do this thing, it will happen, Denise. It mm-hmm. will happen. You understand my sister?
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
It is not, and I'm not going to put God in a box either for it to happen the way I want it to happen or when I want it to happen. Listen, the how is not so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that it happens, that's important. How it happens is not so important. And I think we want to put God in a box. Oh, well, I'm going to go to church, and this thing is going to happen in church. No. You could go to your own service, worship God, and then sit back in your car, and then boom, something happens to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is what has been happening to the church. We come and we want it to happen the way we want it to happen. When pastor preach, this is no. When pastor preach the word, that word is released. It's a seed that has gone into your spirit.
Yeah.
Understand? When you walk in obedience or in accordance to what has been released, the manifestation can come.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so we got to change this whole concept of how things are in the body of Christ. We got to change it.
Mm.
Yeah, it has to be changed. I'm kind of messed up in a good way, you know. So, kind of messed. That is because people are doing church.
Exactly.
People are doing church. People are doing structured church.
Mm.
And we are not leaving any room for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to show up. We're not.
Yeah.
We are doing church. Let me tell you something. Yeah, the last 3-4 years of our lives, my wife and my children, it has really, really, really changed in so many different ways. Because, and it's not that we were doing before, it was so wrong, but I believe every season comes a different dimension.
Yeah.
And perhaps you have to be able to do things at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is, even though the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday to the end forever, he still expects us to come to him in different ways. God has so many sides, Dennis.
Facets to him. Mm-hmm.
You understand? We have not even begun to tap into to quart of who God is.
Yeah, totally.
That's why the scripture says, "Who do you say that I am?"
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You have not even begun to exhaust I am, really. You understand? And so. It really allowed me to operate, and I'm at a point where I'm not even concerned about what people think, because if you lock yourself into what they think, you can never get a release or get a breakthrough or get a miracle, because it's never conformed to what to man's little box like thinking. It's never.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And I think when you talk about worship, people are at a place right now where they're just hungry for God. They're just desperate for God. And when you're desperate, you do some strange things. Listen, on over the weekend, it was myself, again, I told you, Eddie James, we were in a meeting. Now, these guys, they have a routine of songs that they would do and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it we did 4 meetings. And every one of them,
mm-hmm.
one girl, he has these young people. One of them, they came up and she was testifying about, she's living with her mom. She's 11 years old. She's never seen her father wrong and all that. She has other siblings, but she's never seen her father and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They have their other father and all that. And when she was about to turn, become 11. Now you listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me if this is what God is doing. She was about to become 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Mom, all I want for my birthday is to know who my father is.
Uh-huh.
That is all I want.
Mm-hmm.
Mom said to her, she said, then her mom turned to her and said, listen, while I was in the military, I was gang raped.
Okay.
And you are a result of that. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on a minute. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Now, here it is. She said for the next 5 years, she began to cut herself.
Oh, gee.
She went into deep depression. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to kill herself and the whole nine yards. Now, how can you continue singing a few songs after that?
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The glory of God rushed into that room at such a measure
mm-hmm.
that people who were sitting, they were young ladies who were sitting, we're talking about we had, what, 700-800 people sitting in this room.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even have to call them to the altar. They ran to the altar for deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
The entire meeting, somebody would look at that meeting and say that the meeting, the entire meeting broke up. No. That's when it started.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's when man's program broke up.
Exactly. That is when the real essence of the meeting started. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you should have seen the deliverance for the next 2 hours. We couldn't sing nothing after that. It was just spontaneous stuff, you know, and just apostolic and prophetic declaration of breaking the chains and moving beyond where you are. And that was the hallmark of the entire meeting.
Yeah.
You understand? And so I tell people that our sense of normalcy is not the same with God.
Mm.
When we talk about excellence, it's not the same with God.
Mm.
You understand? And so we got to be able to come to a place where we are. I don't know if I'm penetrating enough on what I'm saying, but we have to come to a place. I'm saying it, all of this to say we have to come to a place where we have to allow the Spirit of God to take over. I call it the old-fashioned church.
Oh, don't even talk about that, man.
You feel me? You know when we got saved back in the days, you know we went to church, and we never stopped until glory showed up.
We
are a result of those things.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And I believe that we have got to return to back to those days.
Yeah.
When we worship God until we get a breakthrough, when we are able to linger in the presence of God, you know, just stay in that zone. I see people rushing from song to song. Listen, those songs are not so important. What God is saying is important.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the songs are be rushing from song to song. We are just echoing the Israels and the Donnie McClarkins and all. Listen, those songs are good and I respect these brothers. I know them and all of that. Mm. But listen. Unless God tells you to sing that because it's a popular song, don't sing it. Don't sing it. Worship leaders are getting all these popular songs that are coming out. But is God in what you're saying? Is it relevant for your house? Is it the time for it? Some of the songs is not even the scriptural.
Yeah.
And so it is just
it sounds good. It sounds good, so they run with it.
Mm. It just arouses your emotions and all of that.
Yeah.
And I really want people to understand, because when we come in and we start to teach on prophetic and apostolic worship and that kind of thing, this is the dimension in which we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So we have got to be able to come to a place where we are after God, we are chasing after God, and when God gets in the picture, you just relax and let Him do, rest in Him,
yeah,
and let Him do what He has to do.
Mm.
You understand? Let Him do what He wants to do.
Yeah, yeah.
My church is a mess. Some good church.
Well, I'm glad you're taking me there, because talk a bit about Destiny Empowerment Worship Center. Tell us a bit about that, and because I heard your whole family's involved. You know, it's not
just right,
your thing, and that's probably what empowers you to be able to go out and do as much ministry that you've been doing. You know, with all the that you've been doing.
Well, you know, this never stops. You know, I've been doing this before we actually started. And so I just ease up a little because we had launched the church and all of that. But the church started about 3 years ago. In fact, it started before the very foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was manifested 3 years ago. Because it was in the mind of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started with my wife. And I have plenty children, a lot of children. Yeah, my wife and my 5 children.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife being, and you need to do a program with her.
Yeah, I know.
my wife.
I've already have that lined up. I know for sure.
Yeah, my wife being an intercessor, and
yes.
I think she's one of the greatest intercessors that I've come across, because I've lived with her, I know her, and you know, her being on the side of doing intercession, and me in the area of prophetic and apostolic worship and stuff like that. You know, when we started thinking about this, we had a whole lot of names, but the Spirit of the Lord dropped this in our hearts, the Destiny Empowerment Worship Center, because I believe that there are a lot of people who are doing a lot of things, Denny.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it in the church, in the name of Christianity and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still limited. And my heart is that people will find their place in God.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about finding your place in church, but find your place in God. In other words, find your place in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And where you're able to get into any facet of life. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Wherever it is that God would have placed you, whether it's in government or wherever, but you're able to penetrate in those different places. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I said, God, I want to do something where we're not just doing regular church, but where we're able to raise up a generation,
mm-hmm.
that people thought that could not do anything or could not go anywhere. People who have been messed up. And give them a sense of understanding that you were born to do so much more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you can do it. You have it within you. There's a seed of destiny inside of you. That you can go out and you can change your world.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's where it was born, the Destiny Empowerment Worship Center. And we call it the DEW Center, D-E-W Center.
Okay.
You know? And we started, like I said, we started 3 years ago. We actually just into 3 years. And God, of course, you know, when you start something like that, it is not going to, you know, the enemy will try it as much.
Exactly.
What, you
yeah.
know. But I've learned one thing, to stay within my zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a preacher, yes, and I will preach. I will teach. I'm a teacher, a preacher, a life coach, and I will do that. But when it comes to worship and intercession, we have made that the very foundation of the ministry. And so if you come around there, we have a lot of youth. It's attracted a lot of youth, a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear them pray, you hear them worship God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it is. So they worship God, they intercede. And then, you know, we teach them how to live, basic principles of how to live and how to govern your soul.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them have dysfunctional homes and stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
dysfunctional backgrounds and
yeah.
and so we teach them how to manage their lives and stuff like that, because we came out of dysfunctional backgrounds too,
mm-hmm.
and you know, God delivered us, and so we kind of like teach them how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just in a nutshell, that's what God has really called us to do. And the whole concept of the prophetic arts and all of that, we deal with every drama and mime, everything. We deal with all of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have dances, we have everything. Not these kind of dances where you just, you know, the ballet. We're talking about hip hop and the reg. We're talking about all of that because we are after this generation, you know. God has given me a heart for this generation, a heart for the youth of this generation, of the nations and all of that. And we've been going into the you know, the prisons and the schools and so on, and you know, just doing what God wants us to do.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had the privilege of visiting your church, but my mother.
She was there.
She always makes sure that when she goes home, she gotta go check out Sean.
Yeah, I know. I wish I was down there now.
Yeah,
because she's here now. Right?
Yeah, and actually, my aunt, I think it's 2 years ago, got saved on the Michelle's ministry. You know, she.
Yeah, she was there. I remember. Yeah. I think I was in the country at the time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I know you guys are doing some great stuff. Cause, yeah.
Just
explain
for us. But that's in a nutshell. You know, that is where it's at. And again, you know, like I said, we're not just, our heart is not to do regular church, and you know, to confirm with all the. We have a lot of churches, so we don't need a lot of churches. We don't need any more church. What you need is a place where people can come and they can be empowered to live.
Mm-hmm.
To live. you know, to live. If you want to do, I tell the young people, if you want to do something in church and this is what you like, this thing can take this thing out from the four walls and it can make sense outside too. We've been just doing it in the simplest way, man. You know, we're learning all the while, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed you're also managing a band. Tell me a bit about that.
Oh well, it's the Cross Carriers group. Some wonderful worship leaders. This young man Sam. Well, I think you've heard some music from him.
Yes,
I believe he's more on the cutting edge of what God is doing today. They've been really, really doing excellent. I'm believing God to really bring them out to this part. You're working on a few things at this moment, and I think we need to get to your end. But they're, when you talk about humility and the ability to tap into the realms of, you know, of the spirit and bring what God is saying to a place where people can understand it, this group is of such. And their ability to write and you know, articulate the whole mind of God, and it's wonderful. We've done this project that I've done just with the reggae music. They have been very instrumental in helping put it together and so on. At present, I'm working on a live worship album, Life, because that sense that's where God is taking us, and they also will be part of it. You know, so you need to get us to your side, really.
Yes. You know, we're working on that.
please do. But they're doing excellent. And you'll hear a lot more from them. Also, my sons, they have a band. It's called the Breaking the Barrier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. All my children, I didn't mention, but all my children there, they're playing the music. And you know, Denny, let me just stick this in here for the listeners, those that are listening. You know, when God, that's why we have to, let me put it from this angle. That's why we have to stay faithful and committed to what God has called us to. Mm-hmm. You don't know what impact you're making into your generation. And my children have never did anything until until we came out. And when I saw what my children are doing now, my daughter's leading worship. My sons are playing music. My son have a class where he's teaching music. You know, I just every time I think about it, I have to give God glory for what he's doing. Because of Michelle and myself, our obedience and the ability to stay and not to run when we felt that we should have run, but to move when God says to move. You know, our children were able to develop and just flow within the art of God, and I give God glory for that. You know, I really do love them. Really, 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 really do love them. My son is when we are not around, he's heading up the ministry. You know, it's just you have to see it to really understand.
Well, I've heard the reports, hence why I mentioned earlier. I think, you know, you definitely have the firm foundation set, hence empowering you to be able to travel around the world, being assured that, you know, business is being taken care of back home in the church.
And it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to see that they're young and, you know, all this energy, this creative energy that is within them, you know, they're using it for the kingdom. And that's where it's at. That's where it's at. You know.
Sean, is there anything that you want to say to worship leaders out there that are struggling to find the mind of God concerning their assignment in leading people into his presence, really?
First of all, we need to understand, like, I love the word that you used, we need to understand what's our assignment. Mm. And we need to stay within that, within the confines of that, and allow God, because if you get outside of that, then you're missing God. If you stay within your assignment, then you're in a position where God can download into you. That means that you have to be obedient to whatever it is that he will say to you to do. And I want to say to any minister of music that if you're in a place where you're so frustrated, it just might be that you are living outside of your call, outside of your assignment. And I want to prophesy and declare to them that is the season when you will get back into your assignment, and everything that you need to fulfill God's original plan and purpose for your life, it's within your assignment. And that you need to just remain there. I think sometimes people try to jump out, because a lot of times worship leaders, we develop very pretty much fast, and there's a lot of growth And people think, well, okay, now I can preach. Let me go out and be the man of power and begin to preach. Now, yes, you can preach, but understand what you're calling, what's your assignment. Stay there. If God is moving you into a place of preaching, then it's fine. But please don't forget your first love.
Yeah.
And I would just want to encourage them to stay faithful, stay committed. Yeah, stay committed. Yeah. Stay faithful. Try not to get into anybody's zone, but stay within your lane. Too many people are outside of their lane. They're outside of their zone. Stay within your zone. Don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. Of course, and develop a good relationship with your pastor. Let your pastor know where it hurts. Because a lot of times worship leaders have a lot of issues. We have a lot of issues at CV. We struggle. A lot of stuff that we struggle with that, you know, we cover that up with our good voices and our good playing and all of that. But we're a mess, I can tell you. Because that's the position that the enemy lost. And so he would try to contaminate that as much as possible. And we have to become true to who we are, who God has called us to do, and to do it in the simplest way. I wanted to say this too. There are a lot of people who are trying to make it. Don't try to make it. Just do what God wants you to do. If you never walk the red carpet, if you never do a CD, if your music never go around the world, that don't make you any less than anybody else. You understand? You are important within your assignment, within your metro. You understand? You are important. You are important. God hears you. God, there are people that God has assigned for you, but you can only reach those people if you stay within what God has called you to. And so don't try to be a star. Don't try to be another Kirk Franklin. We don't need another Kirk Franklin. We don't need another Donnie McClurkin. We don't need another Israel. What we need is you. And just be you and do you and be effective there, you know? And God will raise you up at the appointed time.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is some awesome stuff, man. We could go on forever.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Sean, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and creating our program. But I do have to reschedule another one with you where we can actually go through some of your songs.
Yeah. Remember that, let them know that they can get the music on Reggae Gospel.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that. Where is your website?
Yeah, we're presently, we had some setbacks, but we're working on it at the moment. But they can get it on I think it's Reggae Gospel, Reggae. We have one right now on Amazon.
Reverb Nation.
Yeah, they have, right. And I'm now in the process. I have some worship that I did at different churches. I'm just going to compile that.
Yes. Well, thank you very much again, Sean.
I must thank you for allowing me to come all the way into London.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to get a plane to get there.
No.
and we
use your technology.
Definitely.
Using it to the glory of God.
Definitely. And the music has been played on a lot of radio stations throughout the U.S. and in different parts of the Caribbean and all of that. We want to thank you for having us and for trusting us in your program.
That was Samis Sean Sobers. His name is sort of a tongue twister for me, but it was indeed a privilege having him on the show. We don't have enough time to play any more of his music, but if you stay on our website, it's www.togetherinministry.org. We will keep you up to date as to when we will have Sean again, and he's going to be talking about some of his music. So God bless you, keep you, cause his light to shine upon you, and thank you again for joining us. Goodbye for now.